The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Acts chapter 18. I'm reading to you beginning at verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. He spoke and taught accurately the law of Moses, the Old Testament scriptures, the baptism of John, and what little he knew about the promised coming of the Messiah. Though he knew only the baptism of John. Now, Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Some of you probably read this passage for years, and you probably wonder about verse 1, but it's just like me to dig into it. And it happened. Somebody say, what had happened? And it happened. While Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, finding some disciples. Finding what? Finding what? Make no mistake about this. These disciples were believers. But they can only go or have gone as far as Apollos could have taken them. He only knew the law of Moses and the Old Testament scriptures and the baptism of John. Verse 2, and he said to them, that is, Paul said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. You don't know if you haven't been taught. They were being honest. But the Apostle Paul saw something. He had to hear something about these 12 certain disciples that moved him to ask the question, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? In other words, having received or having believed, did you receive? Your disciples. And having believed, did you receive? Verse 3, and they said to them, and he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. That's like you talk to somebody and they're talking all off the wall. And they're supposed to be a Christian. And you say, who church you go to? Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they didn't resist it. They didn't question it. They didn't give Paul any pushback. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And today I want to talk to you, and I want to simply call this message incomplete. Everybody say incomplete. Now, as an instructor in school or college, when a student is passing the class, but for some reason they don't finish a class, or turn in all the required assignments for the class, the instructor will issue that student an incomplete, a grade of incomplete. Now, you educators and former educators, if I'm telling the truth, say amen. Many Christians are incomplete. I need you to hear this. Many Christians are incomplete, not with respect to your faith, not with respect to your righteous standing in Christ Jesus, but you're incomplete with respect to your understanding of Jesus and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all his many promised blessings that's just for you. You got an incomplete on that. I got saved. I made Jesus my Lord. I started going to church. So you're passing the class. But you got to finish the class. You got to turn in all the assignments. And falling short of that, you're incomplete. These disciples that Paul encountered in Ephesus, they were believers. This is why the Bible says they were disciples. But they were incomplete. So Paul saw something about the incompletion, and he said unto, what were you baptized in? Only God knows what they would, what they said to Paul to make him ask that question. He said, to John's baptism. Well, John truly did baptize into repentance. But he baptized in repentance that they who believe should believe on him who would come after John. But they didn't have a revelation about the one who would come after John. Is that right? And we saw in chapter 18 that Apollos, let me take my time with this. Apollos was a gifted speaker. But he didn't have a complete message. Apollos was a very naturally gifted speaker, but he didn't have an anointing. You got a lot of preachers like that in this day and this time. They have naturally good abilities to speak, but they don't have a message. Talking loud, saying nothing. They don't have an anointing. You got a lot of gospel singers and gospel musicians, and you can say the same thing about them. Oh, they got a great voice. Oh, they play their instrument well, but they don't have the anointing. Apollos didn't have the anointing. But Apollos was a learned man. He was an educated man. He was an eloquent man. Mighty in the scriptures. Mighty in the part he knew. But he was heavily influenced by his Alexandrian culture. Let me break that down. Now, in chapter 18, you'll find that Apollos was a Jew from Alexandria. Alexandria was the capital in northern Egypt. And Alexandria was known as a place, a society, where learned men, they desired to study. And to excel in philosophical studies. Undoubtedly, Apollos had some kind of doctor degree himself. Is that right? He was a learned man from a city that was known to be devoted to the studies of philosophical matters. A lot of preachers today, they have doctorate degrees, PhDs, but that doesn't make the anointing. See? Now I have a PhD, and that's simply the degree designation for a doctor of philosophy. That's all that means. But for philosophy will not break the yoke. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So it's not about philosophy. It's not about theology. It's not even about psychology. It is about the anointing that breaks the yoke. And for a lot of preachers with those letters behind their names, PhD, it really don't mean doctor philosophy. It means pow, high, and deep. A bunch of nothing. Apollos, if he had a PhD or some kind of doctorate degree, he hadn't set it aside. This man was eloquent. Learn it, mighty in the scriptures, fervent in spirit. But he only knew the Old Testament scriptures and the baptism of John. Now begin to look at this father. And I always like to dig into the meaning of names in the Bible. What does the name Apollos mean? The name Apollos mean destroyer or destruction. Now listen to me. If you're full of zeal, like Apollos, fervent in spirit, if you're full of zeal and you only have an intellectual concept of the truth, it is very likely that in your zeal, you're going to make judgmental opinions about other folk. That's all you know. If you only have that intellectual concept of truth, but no real experience with the Lord, you don't know the heart of God, the mind of God. You don't know the mercy and love of God. It's easy to judge somebody else and put them in bondage. So Apollos undoubtedly was destructive in his judgments of others because of his fervent spirit. But he had made at least 12 disciples in Ephesus. He had at least 12 disciples. But when he was sent to Corinth, Paul came to Ephesus. And when Paul came to Ephesus, Paul encountered 12 of Apollos' disciples. And I don't know what they said or what they did, but there was enough there to cause Paul to ask the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we have not heard whether it be the Holy Spirit. Then what in the world were you baptized into? John's baptism. Well, you know, John did baptize until the baptism of repentance that those that would believe on him who would come after him, which is Christ Jesus. And when they heard that, when they heard the good news about the Messiah, when they heard the part that Apollos didn't understand, the part that Apollos didn't know, they received it gladly. And Paul laid hands on them. And they received the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues and prophesy. So Paul asked the question to Apollos' disciples in verse 2, I believe. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Did you receive? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Now, that's a question every believer ought to ask himself or herself. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? There are five baptisms mentioned in the Bible. However, only three are applicable to the believer in Christ Jesus. Now, if you receive, if you understand and receive one or two of these baptisms and not all of them, you're incomplete. What are those baptisms? There is the baptism in water. There is the baptism in the body of Christ. There is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And so without an understanding of all of these baptisms, then you're incomplete in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me break down these baptisms. Now, how many believe you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? You see, every hand should have went up because every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Don't let nobody tell you don't have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Now, perhaps you haven't been baptized in water. I don't know that for sure. Perhaps you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you have received the Holy Spirit. Now, do I need to remind you of what happened after the resurrection of Jesus? When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared in the upper room when his disciples were hiding out in fear. And he appeared in the room without opening the door. They were glad to see him. And he says, "Peace be unto you. Even as my Father has sent me, even so I send you." Then he breathed upon them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He didn't say receive the baptism, because he would tell them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem and wait on the baptism. They had received the Holy Spirit, but they hadn't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So if you understand one or two, but not all of these baptisms, then you're incomplete in your revelation. You're incomplete with your walk with God. And I'm telling you that God has more blessings for you. Now, there are three baptisms applicable to the believer, and there's three baptizers. Do I have your attention now? Three baptisms and three baptizers. The first baptism is the baptism in water. And who is the baptizer in water? It's a person. It's a man, a preacher, a disciple. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Go you therefore and teach all nations." He said this to his disciples. "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." Did you hear what I said? He told them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So the first baptism is a water baptism, and it's always a man, a preacher, a believer, a disciple who is the baptizer. I have baptized many people over the many years of ministry in water, but I can't baptize nobody in the Holy Ghost. I can't baptize nobody in the body of Christ, and that takes me to the second baptism. The second baptism is baptism in the body of Christ. And this is what we don't hear enough teaching about. And this is why I insist that every believer has the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Because Romans 8 says, if you don't have the Spirit, you're none of His. Hello? Now that's where the rubber meets the road. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're not a Christian either. Hello? I don't care what they teach at some church or some denomination. I'm giving you the Word of God. Amen. Some folks will tell you, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Yes. Nothing can be more often saying that. Amen. When Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," none of them spoke in tongues. Not until the day of Pentecost. Is that right? Amen. So the first baptism is water baptism, and the baptizer is always a person, a man. The second baptism is baptism in the body of Christ. Now here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says. It says, "For we were baptized, every one of us, by one Spirit into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Now here's what happens when you sincerely make Jesus Lord and Savior. When you sincerely say, Jesus, save me. I want to be saved. Then the Holy Spirit comes and he regenerates you on the inside. You may still look ugly on the outside, but he's regenerated you on the inside. How many hear what I'm saying? And that regeneration in your heart is a baptism in the body of Christ. You are now a member of the body of Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit. So the second baptism is the baptism in the body of Christ, and the baptizer is the Holy Spirit. How many follow me? How many glad to be baptized into the body of Christ? I don't care what nobody say. Don't tell folk you're not saved because they don't go to church. I would love to have as many people in this church as possible, but I will not compromise telling people the truth. Even if you don't go to nobody's church and you have accepted Jesus Christ, you have been baptized into his body. By that one Spirit, you were baptized into one body. It doesn't matter your race, your color, your ethnicity, whether you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter about your socioeconomic status, whether you're bond or free, in other words, a slave or a free man. It doesn't matter about none of that. We've all been made to drink into that one Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Ghost don't baptize me into the body of Christ. Look at somebody and say, the Holy Ghost has baptized me into the body of Christ. Now we got two baptisms so far, right? Water baptism. Baptism in the body of Christ. And I need to reemphasize this. Every Christian, regardless of their denomination, regardless if they're Catholic or Protestant, regardless if they're holiness or holy mess, they've been baptized into the body of Christ. And there's a lot of Christians got a lot of mess, got a lot of baggage. But who are you to tell them they're not saved when the Holy Ghost baptized them in the body? Are you greater than the Holy Ghost? Huh? We need to lay aside our legalism and stop being like Apollos. Just because you learned the fruit scriptures, or you went to school or took a class, just because you have good speaking ability, and you mighty in those three scriptures you remembered. You don't have a right to take that zeal and be destructive in your judgments against others. How many starting to get this message? You don't have a right to be judgmental toward nobody when the Holy Ghost don't baptize them in the body. How can you go further than the Spirit? We need to back up and let God deal with his people. Amen. They belong to God. They don't belong to you. Amen. We want to tell folks how they should act, how they should look, how they should talk. Amen. We want them to conform to us. Amen. Well, God, then he says, I saved you, but he then says, I made you perfect. Right. You're still under construction. You have not arrived. Even Apostle Paul, as great as he was, he admitted, I have not apprehended yet. Paul says, I haven't got there yet. There's still room at the top for more growth. Now this third baptism is the one that makes me want to shake. Oh my God. It puts jumping in my feet, clapping in my hands. It puts joy down in my soul. My, my, my. You see, I grew up in a church that told me that it wasn't necessary to have this baptism. They told me that went away with the apostles in the first church. Huh? They said, all that speaking in tongues stuff, some even said it was of the devil. That third baptism is baptism in the Holy Ghost. You can say baptism in the Holy Ghost, baptism in the Holy Spirit. It means the same thing. And guess who the baptizer is? Jesus himself. Oh, my God. Jesus himself. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus says, behold, he said this to his disciples. Behold, I send the promise. I send the promise of my Father unto you. But he says, tarry in Jerusalem. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said to them, now John truly baptized you with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He says, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Then in verse 8 he says, but you shall receive power. You shall receive power to be a witness unto me. And don't limit being a witness to passing out a tract, sharing a scripture with somebody. You're a witness when you relate to a person in a Christ-like way. If Jesus would not be judgmental, why are you? If Jesus would not condemn, why do you condemn? You're not being a good witness, but he's given me power to be a witness unto him. And that's what the Holy Ghost do, as the old folk would say in the old church, and the Holy Ghost would keep you. Let me tell you something. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit will check your spirit and tell you you're being legalistic. Come on. You're being unmerciful. You're being judgmental. And you're being unchristlike. Jesus says, I will baptize you. He is the one who baptized the 120 on the day of Pentecost. When he told them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with the power on high. These are the same ones that had already received the Holy Spirit. But they hadn't received the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself was the baptizer. We need to get rid of the spirit of Apollos in the church. Apollos was a good man now. He was a good man, but he only could go as far as he knew. You know, if you know better, you could. If he knew better, come on now. You can do better. Is that right?
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.